Hello, team, and welcome back to another Two Fat Brokers podcast. I am Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Rowan from Dubai.
And today we are going to be talking about the imminent collapse of the Dubai real estate market. It's happening.
It's not imminent. It's happening now.
It's happening. It's
crumbling,
real time.
The edifice.
As of January, the whole market's going to the dogs.
Hell in a handcart.
We had fun whilst it lasted.
Well, I'm in Abu Dhabi, so I don't care. Well, actually, now it's collapsing in Dubai. Everyone should come to Abu Dhabi and invest in real estate.
Because
our market still going great guns.
The tortoise time to and switch. The hare.
Close out your Dubai properties now. Come and invest in Abu Dhabi. Makes so much sense.
What will you be doing when you can't make as a real estate agent
Which
anymore?
Which part of the Dubai market? That's what I want to know.
We're having fun. We'll get to the important stuff in a minute. Come on, Kapoor.
Get back into golf, maybe.
Yeah.
I tried padel. That didn't work very long.
Memberships are too expensive, though. I'm a beleaguered real estate agent now. I'm not going to make enough money to maintain my membership. The reason we're talking about this is because the Gulf News released an article about 2 weeks ago or a week ago where it said that the Dubai real estate prices have come down a whopping 0.5% from the month before. And transactions for January were up year on year, January versus January, but were also down 4.6% compared to the month before. What does this tell you, Mr. Kapoor? What do you think this all means?
Slowdown, potentially.
Okay.
Collapse.
Oh, yeah.
Destruction.
Godzilla rising out of the sea.
Let's hope not. Smashing the real estate.
I think with the conversations I'm having with people, clients, friends, family, whatever it might be, off-plan, slowdown, seems like it. I've never been off-plan guy, so I don't know the numbers offhand, but seems to be a bit of a slowdown talking to developers, contractors. So what does that mean? Do they move to secondary? Are people getting outpriced to secondary? I think they are. Global equity markets are down. India has gone through the worst, I think the worst stock market.
You told me to invest in India about a month ago.
Yeah, because
I'm glad I didn't listen to you, Kapoor.
It's down, so when stuff comes down, you typically go in and buy things.
The Dow's collapsing in the US.
Yeah, I mean, 5% S&P 500. Off the all-time high, it's not that bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone down quite quickly, but I guess, yeah, people are worried about where it's going to end up.
But when you see things like India down, the Dow down, crypto's down, gold is down,
crypto's down.
I mean, crypto, yeah, crypto's down. Well, it could be up now. I mean, you know, we've been sat here for 10 minutes.
True.
Point being, where's the safe haven?
Well, apparently, again, economists always say that real estate's a good hedge against inflation, right, for long term.
So they say.
So that's one good idea.
But we're not talking about inflation's pretty stable now, isn't it? So we're not too worried about inflation. But you're right, it is. Any asset's a good hedge against inflation.
It's all part of the bigger picture. Market's down, inflation's relatively up. Things have become very expensive everywhere, globally.
Mm.
Right? Your basket of goods is just becoming unaffordable for a lot of people.
Yeah, I watched the news the other day, and apparently even in the UK, your gas bill and electricity bill are going to go back up again. Everybody was worried that, you know, or was happy that they were coming down, and now they've released another statement saying, yep, no, it's going back up.
Why is that?
So the cost of it, I don't know, mate. I don't know. I turned it off. I was watching the football.
Luckily, summer's coming in the UK. Not so lucky for us.
Yeah, so, you know, it would appear that there's a lot of downward pressure everywhere. But, you know, that still said, year on year, so last January versus this January, the volume of transactions were up, and I think it was 114,400-odd transactions this January. I mean, those are great numbers for Dubai. What were the Abu Dhabi numbers?
So Abu Dhabi's going through something, and we don't have a report to show it, but the evidence that we're seeing is the market is taking a pause in Abu Dhabi as well, apart from some areas. But then what we've seen specifically in February is leads are now like through the roof. So I think maybe it might have been seasonal. People taking, like we say, a bit of a stock, bit of a break, you know, over the winter holiday period. And, you know, slowed down a little bit, but then perhaps they're, you know, it's just a pause before they come back to the market.
Why would you have a pause in January? What, for Christmas?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people leave the country, right? You know, you have that winter break. But also, I think, you know, like we were saying earlier, there's instability in the US, and you know, if US catches US sneezes, the world catches a cold. People are pretty nervous about that, you know, India as well. So maybe, you know, people are saying, well, actually, I'm going to hang on to cash. You know, I can maybe, you know, take advantage of these drops in the S&P 500 or the Indian Stock Exchange, you know, and invest it somewhere else that they might have been thinking about putting into real estate.
I suppose you can also keep in mind that, let's say, I don't know what it's like in Abu Dhabi. I mean, you've got a turnaround time of about 2 months from contract signing to transfer.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, so here, depending on whether it's cash to finance, blah, 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 it can be anywhere between 30 days to 2 months. So everything that's transferring now was ostensibly signed, let's say, on average 6 weeks ago. So all of January was signed at the end.
Except the off plan, but depending on how long it takes them to register that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on your payment plan, but you pay your accrued after the first 20% on most developments. So first 20% is due within the first month. So yeah, what we're seeing is mostly all of these transactions that have gone through in January will have been signed November, December.
Or earlier even. Never know. Earlier, yeah. So I think the real test will be, let's see what happens end May, June, what the numbers will look like.
Surely we must have numbers for February now, mustn't we?
Shouldn't we?
I suppose we're a bit early in March. But yeah, be interesting to see what February holds.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you see the Dubai market kind of generally at the beginning of this year? You're seeing it, like, from your perspective, slow down?
I mean, again, we're something of a microcosm in the market. So what I'm seeing personally is business as usual. I don't know what you're seeing. So
yeah, look, I think on the mid to high end luxury segment, I think that the struggle has really been stock, and we haven't
no
stuff. You know, the minor
not stock, but realistic sellers.
Yeah, I guess stock at the right price. So like, yeah, basically realistic seller. There are a lot of people fishing at asking crazy prices, and those numbers are never going to happen. You know, they're asking 120 when the market's at 80. So, you know, just time wasters, or do they generally want to sell?
No, you mention it. I mean, this return or this drop in price may simply have been sellers coming to terms with the fact that they're just not going to get the crazy prices that they were asking before, and becoming more realistic, and therefore reducing their prices, which are now selling.
I mean, it's probably, I mean, yeah, if transactions were down, so what we're seeing in Abu Dhabi is, particularly in some areas where you had sellers who are slightly above the market's caught up with them, and those units have sold. Mm. And the next batch of sellers, the market hasn't caught up with them. So we've still got quite a few buyers, but the sellers, like you guys are seeing, sellers are thinking, the market's going up like 20% a year, and I'm going to bump my price, you know, another 10%. You're like, you know, realistically, you know, but Abu in particular, most of the forecasts are between 5 and 10% this year. Mm. So I want to, you know, not dealing with the numbers you guys are dealing with, but if it was 100 million, yeah, so by the end of this year, it'll be 110 million. You can't start 110 million this year because, you know, we'll only sell it in December. So, you know, be more, if you want to sell it now, the price is 100. Yeah.
You know, we have this conversation with a lot of people. There is a buyer for anything if it's priced right.
Even rubbish.
Even
yeah. rubbish. Even the worst rubbish. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We actually, there was a, anecdotally, there was a developer that just lost a sale on their house on one of the islands in Dubai. Sale agreed, sale fell through. They then increased their price for their property. I think it was 75 million. They increased it.
By 75 million. What's that as a percentage?
30? 20?
Yeah, roughly 28. Ooh,
maths.
Yeah. Yeah. Please edit that out. I'll put my glasses on. Makes me sound more intelligent. Yeah, I mean, point being, you know, this was a house that had taken 2 years to sell. They got a buyer, they accepted an offer, deal didn't go through for whatever reason, and they put it back on the market, 75 million more. It's bonkers. Like the rationale behind it is wild.
But I think, would you think it's a lack of education in the market of sellers? Because, you know, it's getting better, but Abu Dhabi's worse than Dubai. The market's notoriously opaque. Like, it's hard to get really good figures, you know, from, you know, estate agents, real estate brokers. It's hard to get really good independent figures. It's hard to get a good valuation, you know, on your property. So sellers are kind of like going, well, like, you know, licking the finger and being like, okay, market's going up, I'm going to just go for this price and hope that that's, you know, right.
Yeah. I think Dubai, and I'm not sure about Abu Dhabi, but I think Dubai, everybody believes that they're a real estate expert. Mm. You know, And there will be an element of advice that comes from the broker that they choose, but ultimately they make their own mind up. You know, there are scenarios that I could hark back to where you give the sound advice and you give all of the empirical data to for someone to value their property and they go, yeah, no, I want this. Right?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, right. You know, because why? Because everybody thinks they're a real estate expert. And I remember when I was working in the UK, you listened to your estate agent because they were the person that lived and breathed the market that you were about to operate in. Here, everyone thinks that they operate in this market day in, day out. So they think they know what the value of their property is.
But do you not think that's a lot of like mistrust of brokers? Because brokers, you know, don't have a very good reputation. And to be honest, there is, you know, in terms of our incentivization, to a certain extent, you can say, well, we want the same thing, right? If I sell your property for more, I get more commission. But, you know, realistically, brokers, you know, want to do deals. And so if they can get a slightly undervalued property or try and undervalue it for a seller, you know, they, an unscrupulous agent, not like you guys, of course, might take that opportunity. And so you get sellers being like, well, don't really trust this guy. And then they make up stories. Oh, my cousin's brother's mother, sister's father's son sold exactly the same one as this for like 20% more. So that they come across to you as, you know, something of an expert because they don't want you to take advantage of
it. Because that information is findable. You can't just, I mean, you used to be able to say, oh, my brother's cousin's mother's goat's brother's uncle sold this for that. But now you can just go online and check it. And you go, no, they didn't.
So then would you, so if a seller comes to you and they're like, okay, I want this, would you do a valuation report for them based on the land department figures?
I think it's a bit.
Or you just it's a mix, spiel right? It out.
Land department figures, number one. Also, you've got to see what it is. I mean, when we're selling houses, a majority of these villas are very old. But the seller
by very old, how old are you talking about?
Any 7 years old.
20, oh, wow, that's ancient.
25-year-old, and these weren't the best built villas back then.
He's been a little nut. Like 7 years in Dubai is long.
Yeah, is it really 7 years? Like, I mean, not even like
styles change, yeah,
15,
yeah, quality changes.
What kind of, you know, money people put into these and what they invest in these villas. There's some houses I've seen in Emirates sales which are 12, 13 years old, and they're better than some of the newer ones out there. You know, so it all depends what, you know, why someone built a house.
But would, I guess what Ben's saying, would you, before he became Mr. Facetious, you know, would you get a property valuation done on a house?
I mean, I think it's part of the equation, but that's one of the steps, you know, you can do and you potentially need, like, especially if the buyer is a finance buyer, then you have to do a valuation anyways, right? But
no, but before you even list it?
Yes and no.
Just, I mean, just, we've had these conversations, yeah, right? Look, and most sellers will turn around to you and just go, well, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, it's not.
3,500 dirhams to get a property valuation. No, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, on a property, it's like 100 million dirhams.
But I want 210.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, the same plot of land sold for 120.
Surely this will tell you exactly what it's worth.
But I think sellers also get nervous. Like, well, what if it comes in like lower than what I want for my property? You know, they don't want to be, because as soon as that happens, as soon as you get a valuation, they're kind of like pinned to it, right? Like, well, the professional who's a RICS valuer.
They're not pinned to it.
You're not, but like, you know, emotionally, they are.
It has cut your argument off at the knees.
Exactly. So we've gone to an independent third party who's trained in this and all that kind of stuff, and they've come up with this, you know, that if you want to sell it, it's got to be this price. So it does, you know, if you've got a seller who's particularly unrealistic on their price, we've offered this in the past and we've offered to pay for it. We said, we will pay for it as long as you promise that you give us 3 months to sell it at the valuation price. Well, I mean, obviously, we're writing an article, Boy Scouts honor. We write a contract, and no one has ever taken us up on it. Not one person. We're like, we'll pay 3,500 dirhams. I mean, it's peanuts on some of the particular properties that you guys are doing. We will get the valuation done. Just give us 3 months to sell it at that price.
Do you feel like they might think you were working against them with that? Okay, well, you're trying to undercut me rather than trying to get me what I think my house is worth.
It's an independent valuation.
I mean, valuations can vary wildly.
Well, they shouldn't.
They shouldn't. Yeah. But we've seen that they have. And they're in. Really? You've had two
valuations that have been very different.
What's a good way of saying this?
There is no good way. Can you pause this?
You can almost get, within reason, a valuation that you want.
Really?
Within reason. I want it to value. You can't go high, but you can go low. right? You can go a little bit higher than what you think the market would be. It all depends on whether you can get a sympathetic valuer.
So,
and I'm not sure we're going to be leaving this in because that is a little close to the bone, but it's a fact within reason.
That's how the market operates, yeah. So,
maybe there's some valuation companies that are kind of less professional than others, let's say. But you have international valuation companies here, like Jones Lang LaSalle, and those guys who, you know, presume, you know, you would expect to be completely, you know, uncorruptible.
You would expect.
I would expect that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good to know, I suppose. So anyway, so the Dubai market is hopelessly collapsing.
Yeah. Again. For the second time this
year. Time to sell everything at half price.
So this hiatus in Abu Dhabi, why is it a hiatus? Just because people have taken a breather?
I think so, yeah. I think we've sold...
So you're expecting a strong year?
Yeah, we are expecting a strong year. Most predictions for the year is better than last year. So last year, probably up about 4%. 4%. That's above inflation.
We just
kicked over inflation.
The wrong city.
Yeah. So now, you know, we're getting some predictions in, you know, 6% for the year, up to maybe even 10. Yeah.
10?
I mean, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
10% for Abu Dhabi is
on fire.
Crypto flaming. Levels of fluctuation.
Yeah. It's, So...
So why you don't
positive.
Think, okay, so one of the things I always worry about with certainly the Dubai market, it's quite a reactionary market because there's quite a lot of people that hold assets, real estate assets rather than just their houses. So what I feel like I've seen in the past is you reach the bottom of the market and people start buying and all of a sudden the market just takes off. And conversely, when you get to the top of the market, there's always a price adjustment at the top of any market where that guy who was waiting for the market to catch up with him goes, okay, well, it's not going to catch up with me. I'll reduce my price. But you happen to have that across a whole market. Buyers go, whoop, prices are coming down. I'll sit back and wait. And then boom, it's the skids again. You know, that's my concern, right? Because it's a reactionary market where there's a lot of investors here.
Yeah, I mean, you do have that problem when you're an investor. Obviously, if you're an end user, you know, which is a nice stable market, you know, our parents, for example, probably didn't keep an eye on whether the market's going up or down or whatever. They had their mortgage payments, they made them, they sat in their house, they sat there for 20 or 30
years. Yeah, but you ain't in Kansas now, Toto.
Yeah, so the problem comes when you have a lot of investors who are... And particularly investors who are looking to close out capital appreciation as opposed to investors who are looking for yield. So when you have a lot of those and you have a lot of speculators in the market, and we spoke about this on another podcast, guys who are buying off plan, knowing they've only got a few payments in their pocket because they want to flip it out and get that cash. Because, you know, a lot of people and probably more the guys you deal with the super high-end stuff, the yield on that must be just appalling. So all they're looking
it's
for is capital
bad.
Appreciation.
4-5% even on the 100 million.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
On 100 million, you can rent it out for 4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
4 million dirhams rent.
Yes.
That's madness.
He knows a good friend of mine who's got a villa in Jumeirah Golf City, Sanctuary Falls. He picked it up for about 12 and a half, 13, 3.5 years ago. He just got a new tenant at 2.2 million.
Comsa?
For a 5-bedroom villa overlooking a lake. I mean, like, it's bonkers.
We've got the guy in L Sector who's asking 9 for a house he bought for 42 and then renovated it, probably into it for 80, but this is a long time ago. You know, we're just about to close on a property now that's going to come back on the market at 5.5 million. And that's 7%, 6%.
Wow, that's wild.
Phenomenal. The yields are...
Yeah, the yields are high.
Very, very good.
Invest in really expensive real estate in Dubai.
that is wild because you would expect yields to severely drop off as
in any
as
other country
increase.
In the world, yes. But companies for rentals...
paying 9 million in rent. Come on.
Point being, right, if you are a wealthy individual who's moving to the city and you want somewhere that is consummate with your level of comfort to live, there's really not that much available. Really not that much available. So you can always ask your price because not a lot of people invest in this kind of real estate.
Well, I mean, how many, you know, villas, let's say in investment zones, we'll take out the GCC areas, how many villas are above 100 million in Dubai, would you say, ballpark?
a lot.
You just said there's not a lot of choice.
There's not a lot of choice to rent. There's a lot of choice to buy. There's not a lot of choice to rent.
Okay, because they're all owned by end users.
Yes.
That's fair. So then back to my question, ballpark, how many over 100 mil?
For rent?
No, for total that exist.
Emirates Hills is everything on the golf course is pretty much worth 80, 90, 100, and those are old houses.
So that's probably 220.
Yeah, 250 to 300, maybe worth 100 million there. And then you've got
Palm
Dubai Hills.
Palm, is that 1,000? Got to be 100 on the Palm. Way more than 1,000.
More than 1,000 villas over 100 million.
Yeah.
No, Al Bahri not. There's only a few in District 1. Jamiroquai Golf Estate's not in there yet.
Dalal Al Ghaif coming up, which is 80, 90 million.
Yeah, right? So over 100, maybe close to 1,000.
Okay. Pretty wild.
How many in Abu Dhabi?
Well, we had one villa sell for 130 million, but that was mostly the art that was in it. No, one was a villa, but yeah, there's been no villa transaction that I've seen over 100 million.
No, a quick one. So years ago, we used to go to there was that hotel Zayn Rai. So
in Noir Island, yeah.
Yeah, so get off the board, and we've been there about 7-8 times. You see all these lovely villas,
there's
no one there. There were like two villas being occupied. So has that changed, or is that still the same?
I've no idea, to be honest. But yeah, those used to be the most expensive villas, but I've never seen one haven't seen one transacted recently. I think there's some on the market. There were for about 40, 50 million. But I mean, those things are like massive on the beach. But the annoying thing is you've got to get a boat to get there. Yeah. So it's kind of a pain.
The question is, Dubai, as a city, putting all the prices up and down, okay, I mean, that's going to happen. And I'm glad that's happening because that's how an economy matures over time. But people are coming in on a daily basis. The population is steadily increasing. But Abu Dhabi, is that happening? Is there demand for these houses for people to move into?
Yeah, so Abu Dhabi's population is increasing, nothing like in Dubai. And the big driver is our financial district, which...
ADGM, of course.
ADGM. So the wealthy people coming in normally working there, so they all want to live on Saadiyat, basically. And that's, you know... And then to a certain extent, you go up to Jubail and so we've seen the biggest price rises in those areas, probably as a direct result of that, you know, being the main economic driver in Abu Dhabi at the moment, the thing that's bringing population in.
Interesting.
And we've got a pretty booming off plan market, which is which is keeping transactions up. But just recently, in the middle of last year, secondary market transactions actually exceeded off-plan transactions for the first time in a long time. It'd been mostly off-plan before that.
I think the question is, you have to ask yourself, let's just say you've got 10 million pounds, for example, and you're sitting in London, you've got liquid, you want to invest in this region. So then you obviously narrow down to, let's say, UAE being the number one investment option today for real estate here. And then you have Dubai, and you have RAK in Abu Dhabi now. So I guess you've got to go through a checklist and say no to Dubai to then go to one of these places, and Dubai has over time, it's had its up, it's fluctuated, but what it is today, people say, oh, but in the past we've seen these big crashes. I said, yeah, but you can't compare it anymore. You can't compare what Dubai was back in the day when, the world went through struggles, it came back very strong. It's a whole, the fundamentals are different today.
I think Abu Dhabi, to use a Dubai reference, Abu Dhabi is like the Al Bahri of the UAE. Right. Al Bahri is a really beautiful community, which is very tree lined and lush, but it's a destination. You live in Al Bahri because you specifically want to live in Al Bahri. Right. It's the same as Abu Dhabi. You live in Abu Dhabi because you specifically want to live there for the change of pace, for the wide open spaces. You get more bang for your buck. But if you want the fast paced, beach kind of lifestyle, then you choose Dubai. So, I mean, my view on Abu Dhabi is it's very much I'm moving to the UAE and that's where I want to live. You don't ever have a toss up between the two because the lifestyles are so polar opposites.
Yeah, unless you're forced to go to Abu Dhabi because you're doing business with the government there, or ADGM suits your business, or where you're working more. But yeah, if people come in with a complete blank slate and I can live in Abu Dhabi or Dubai, I mean, Dubai's marketing has just been much better over time, and people just understand it more, and there's so many more options, you know, to live, you know, so many more schools, you know, you do get that. And Abu Dhabi, as you say, is, you know, is a more family oriented, a bit slower paced, might appeal for some people if they really do their research. But I mean, Dubai is kind of the obvious choice.
Quick four quiz: $5 million gets you what's the best option in Abu Dhabi today for, let's say, off plan, which is handing over within a year?
So like 20 million dirhams.
Yeah, let's say just about 15, but between 15, 20 million dirhams. Nothing which is going to, not the new off plan, which got launched yesterday and you'll see it in 6-7 years. Something which is, you know, maybe 50-60% under construction.
Yeah, only
Mangrove
really.
Villas?
Mangrove Village. No, well, we do have a there is a unit where, that someone bought, renovated, and they're selling it for 20 million. But if you're talking about off plan, that's handing over soonish. So maybe some of the bigger stuff in Sadia Grove, you know, by the Louvre, by the Guggenheim, stuff like that. But in terms of villas, you know, very, very few options. Some built stuff, you know, you can get Hid, Sadiat and Sadiat Beach Villas for that kind of thing. But yeah, there's not a huge, you know, number of projects at that kind of price point.
Right. I think we have digressed far enough. I think this has been fun. It's been fun to
be
at the top of the slippery slope of the Dubai real estate.
Well,
market,
I'm pretty happy that the Dubai market's collapsing.
Like Atlantis.
By Abu Dhabi.
Goodbye, Dubai. Thank you for joining us. I have been Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Rowan from Dubai.
We will see you again next time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.